Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it's Author of the Week, sponsored by the incredible people at ABC Books on North Glenstone, sponsoring our Author of the Week segment every Thursday. And if you miss any of the segment or it in its entirety, of course, we've got it up in podcast form at ksgf.com. And then at ABC Books, they actually have a physical Author of the Week section up where you'll find a lot of the books from our authors of the week. And this week, Katie Asher, the book is The Book of Heaven, a story of hope for the outcast, the broken, and those who lost faith. And this is a little bit different going into this. This interview was set up because of James Clary. Those of you who know James, he fills in for me. And then on Saturday mornings, he has his show, Clarification, at 8 a.m. And he is going to be interviewing Katie Asher. And I think that it all came about because of something called the telepathy tapes, which is separate from her book. And so this is a little unstructured for those of you who are listening. I just kind of want to give you an understanding of why that is and the fact that she is going to be joining James for the entirety of his show on Saturday. So anything that you hear, of course, the book itself will be great information for you, but also listening to James' show. And if you miss it, that also will be up in podcast form just after his show ends at ksgf.com. So that being said, that very clunky introduction, Katie, thank you so much for being with us. And I don't know, is it best to start talking about, because I know you're going to be talking about the telepathy tapes with James, kind of start with that and then go back to the book. What's the best way to go into this?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited to be here and just to share about a little bit about our story. And basically, when I wrote our book, I was reaching out to a different scientist to try to find someone who could validate what I had discovered about my son's unique and incredible spiritual gifts. And in the process, we were connected with this film director, Kai Dickens, who is basically the director, producer, and creator of the telepathy tapes. And so that's my connection to them. And I'm an integral part of the telepathy tapes, which is now in the process of becoming a documentary, which we're super excited about. But our story, The Book of Heaven, happened. It was published in 2021, I think. I have to go back and look.
Sometime.
And so it is basically us recounting our journey from beginning with my childhood through my son's very severe diagnosis and regression with autism, and through his entire upbringing where there was no hope and I lost hope, and ultimately to where he got his voice and then the miracles began.
Now, and I don't know how instrumental this is to the premise of the book itself, but I know we have spent a great deal of time, as James have, talking just about the issue of autism and then, you know, vaccines and so forth. And I know that that is, I believe, at least an important part of the story for you all.
It is an important part of the story, and I actually do not go into significant scientific detail about the complexity of how the vaccine is responsible. I just touch on it a little bit. And the reason why I didn't go into great depths in the book is because people are so polarized by that topic. And because this was really a story about faith and love and hope, I didn't want to polarize people right in the middle of our book. So I addressed it and then I moved on. But I'm happy to explain that to anybody who wants to know how do vaccines have anything to do with severe autism. I can totally explain that.
Well, if you don't mind, as being, of course, we've got somewhat of a limited time, but whatever information that you feel is necessary, particularly when it comes to the overall story here, if you would go ahead and explain that.
I sure would. Okay, so basically, these vaccines have an adjuvant in them, and they have multiple adjuvants. But in particular, I want to discuss aluminum. Whenever I was first, my son's regression had happened, and we started doing all these tests to try to figure out what was wrong. One of the tests we did was a metal test. And I, at the time, had been hearing about mercury. So I expected to see elevated levels of mercury in this test. And there was elevated levels of mercury. But the one that shocked me was the one that reached the entire top of the chart. And that was aluminum. And I was shocked by that. I was like, what? Where did aluminum come from? Why is there aluminum? What's aluminum doing in here? Aluminum is a non-human element, right? Just so everybody knows, that's not supposed to be in the human body. It's great for industrial use. And the reason why it's great for industrial use is because of its atomic number, which is 13. For anybody who just like real basic chemistry, the way all elements work is they have two electrons in their first shell, and then they can, on every shell after that, they can have up to four pairs. So with aluminum having an atomic number of 13, that means the outer shell, the valence shell, has the balance, and that determines how electronegative it is. So that means aluminum has three electrons in its valence shell. That makes it highly electronegative. So this basically creates oxidative stress because it's trying to fill those valence shells, okay? And as it begins to pull electrons from other cells, then those cells are now unstable, and then they pull cells. And so basically this almost like fusion, like massive oxidative stress all over the entire body happens. That triggers the immune system. This was why they use it. But the problem is they can't control that reaction. And so in some people, like my son, it triggers interleukin-6, a mass amount of interleukin-6. And that causes a cytokine storm. Cytokine storm causes massive cellular and organ damage, sometimes failure, and it also causes encephalopathy. Encephalopathy interrupts neural development. And that is very important because what happens is we're all born with this ability to perceive our physical and metaphysical environment. And we have massive amounts of sensory synapses that are absorbing everything and teaching us where we are in space, as well as how to connect with other human beings through emotion, through everything. And whenever we normally go through development, the beginning of motor development is preceded by the pruning of sensory synapses. And that's very important because none of us are born with motor. And motor has to develop. And the way it develops is sensory synapses are pruned, and then there's sensory and motor integration as the motor begins to develop. When you have encephalopathy, that interrupts that pruning process, and then it interrupts the motor development, and then, of course, it interrupts the sensory and motor integration. So they basically don't develop motor into their physical body, and they're still taking in all of that sensory. And that's why they have all these incredible gifts. And that's also why they can't control their bodies. And there you
go. So we're talking with our author of the week, Katie Asher. The book is The Book of Heaven, a story of hope for the outcast, the broken, and those who lost faith. And so you are, and I understand this, again, talking with James Clary, who is going to have Katie on his show Saturday, that this is what would be considered a severe case. It seems as if the spectrum has gotten very, very broad, to where once upon a time, if someone was autistic, you could almost tell by observation, but it's gotten to where now people self-identify and you're like, oh, I had no idea. But this was what one would consider a severe case, correct?
This is severe autism. And when Houston was diagnosed back in 2000, there were three diagnoses. There wasn't this enormous spectrum. Mm. There was Asperger's. There was pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, called PDD-NOS. And there was autism. And autism had mild, moderate, severe. And Houston's is severe.
Now, at some point, something happened, I guess is a very simple way to put it. I know it's described as sort of like these prison doors opening up, and then this ability to communicate occurred. So tell us about this.
Well, so I would say the first miracle happened when Houston was 17 years old. And at the time, I was doing this yoga training, right? And
to become a yoga instructor. And I remember they had us all going around the room to give our intention. And in my head, I was like, nobody wants to hear you know, anything you're going through. So just be as brief as possible and don't share anything about yourself. That's what I was telling myself internally. And so when I was the last person and they asked me to give my intention. And so I said something very vague. And then almost without thought, I blurted out, oh, and I would like bad things to stop happening. Mm. And they were like shocked that I said that. And they said, well, why would you say that? And I immediately was triggered. And I said, I know how belief works. I said, you believe what you've experienced. That's what I've experienced. Why would I believe anything else? Mm-hmm. And they really challenged me that good had just as much chance of happening as bad. And I had been very well indoctrinated into suffering and enduring. So it was actually a challenging thought to expect something good to happen. I had been trained to expect and to prepare and to endure bad. And so I went home with this knowledge. And one of the things they said to me was, look around you, pick up something, whether it's the chair or the table or a book, you know, anything. And then ask yourself, what was that thing before it was the thing in your hand? And the reality is everything material was first a thought before it was a thing. Everything. And that really had an impact on me. And so I was wrestling with this idea that my thoughts could become things. And I did not want my current thoughts at that time to become anything because they were just despair, really. I was truly in a desperate and despairing place in my heart. And so that right after that, it was the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. I was working 3 jobs. I'm a single mom, 5 kids, just like broke as broke can be and worn to the bone. And I laid down on the couch and my body was so stressed and anxious and overwhelmed and fatigued that my body was vibrating and I couldn't go to sleep. And suddenly my severely autistic son comes downstairs and sits down on the couch at my feet, which is something he never did. He usually is jumping up and down, rocking back and forth, flapping his hand, making booming noises, fast-forwarding and rewinding videos. He doesn't sit still. That just isn't what he does. And suddenly he reached over and tugged at the blanket very intentionally, exactly like you would do to get someone's attention. And he spoke. And he said, Mama. And that was the first time, my son was 17, it was the first time he'd ever called my name. I opened my eyes and he was looking directly in my eyes, which is also something he couldn't do. And he said, I love you. And I was so overwhelmed that in that moment, I felt like I had been given a choice, that I could believe in a miracle or I could continue to go down this path of despair. And I chose to believe in a miracle, and I didn't know what that miracle was going to be. I just knew that I had this idea that my thoughts could bring to pass the thing that I needed and wanted most in my life. And so I held on to that. And it was another 5 years before we found out about spelling. And when we found out about spelling, the first time I'd ever heard about it, I thought, oh, that only works because their son's not as severe as mine. And then we met another family that we had known for years when Houston was very small. And their son had grown up and was now spelling. And I knew that this son was as severe as my son. And yet here he was, and he was communicating to me. And he said, do not let money or time deter you. Do not let the fact that you've tried a zillion interventions over the years make you gun shy. This is the real deal. It works. We need a voice just like everyone else does. We need the same chance to be known that everyone else gets effortlessly.
Now,
it was enough of an encouragement to me, and I witnessed it. I saw spell this out.
Well, and if you could, we're talking with Katie Asher, our author of the week, the Book of Heaven, a story of hope for the outcast, the broken, and those who lost faith. You talk about the spelling. Will you explain to people what that is?
So what we learned was that what autism is, remember when I was telling about how their motor doesn't develop? So it's basically whole body apraxia, which means that the signals that are trying to go to the body don't go to the body, and they have such a difficult time motor planning. And what spelling does is it takes communication out of the fine motor, 100 different muscles that are required to speak, and it puts it in gross motor in the motion of the arm, where they have slightly more control. And so what they're doing is they're spelling and they're pointing to one letter at a time to spell out everything that they want to say. And that's what it is. It's a gross motor activity to communicate.
Now, and I know we started off talking about, and James is going to focus again on his show Clarification this Saturday at 8 a.m. on, I think, a lot of the telepathy tapes component of this. And so in the last few minutes that we have, if you could sort of, I guess, summarize, okay, here's what is in the book, but I don't know if you'd say maybe the rest of the story is something that would be in the telepathy tapes. Is that a good layout of it? And if so, where does everything fit?
Sure, I'll explain pretty quickly. So once Houston, I started this spelling, and then very quickly, he spelled his first words to me, which were, "I'm in here." And of course, that rocked my world. And then I was just obsessed with just getting to know my son. And I couldn't believe how much he knew. It seemed like he knew everything. He knew things I didn't know. He started spelling out the Declaration of Independence and the Gettysburg Address. Clearly, I don't know all of that. So I was astonished by where did all this knowledge come from? And so I asked him one night, you know, how do you know all this? Do you just have really good hearing? And he must have laughed. But he spelled, "I'm special. I can hear thoughts." And of course, I didn't believe that because that seemed just crazy. And then I tested him, and of course, he proved it. And that was just the beginning of it, because the ability to hear thoughts, and this goes back to what I was sharing with you earlier, that thought is a thing, that everything material comes from thought, that it comes from spirit. And this is the reality, is that thought and energy are the same. And because they are so disconnected from their physical body, they are experiencing the whole spiritual metaphysical realm in varying degrees. But with Houston, because of the severity of his disconnection to his body, he's experiencing an extraordinary amount of the spiritual and metaphysical realm. And so the rest of the book is that unveiling, and then me trying to understand what all this meant. How was this possible? And so I dove very deeply into the science as well as the spirituality. And Houston would sit there and spell out things and describe verses in heaven or in the Bible that describe heaven that he had never read. And he would describe truths in the Bible that he had never read. And the only way that you could possibly have this kind of understanding, this deep comprehension of biblical, theological, and spiritual truths is to have experienced it. Because he did not experience it in the basement in the church where they kept him when we would go to church. That was not where he learned all of this.
And so what's your hope in this? People who pick up the book, they read the book. I suspect that it is for people well beyond parents of autistic kids. Who's the audience? What do you want people to get out of this?
There's two audiences. The first audience is obviously, I desperately want parents of non-speakers to read this book and anyone who is connected with these families, because they need all of their family members to understand what's actually going on, what they're actually experiencing them, and support them in a way that is compassionate instead of deeply hurtful and despairing, because that's what these parents do. These parents need hope like you don't even understand. They are struggling to stay alive. And I'm not in any way exaggerating that statement. That is not hyperbole. Yeah. That's true. And then we need society to completely change. We need everything about society to change. We need people to recognize the equal humanity in all of us. We need people to recognize that faith is a real thing, that these unseen ideas, we think they're just concept. We think faith and doubt are just, it's just a concept, but it's an actual unseen force that affects our material world. We need everyone to read and everyone to believe. We need us, the whole world, to have faith in kindness and love and goodness. We need the world to be seeking what is good instead of what is selfish and destructive. So,
well, and so then I wanted to,
everybody, that's who needs to read it.
And then the again, telepathy tapes, which I know I keep repeating this, but for people who are tuning in, that James is going to be talking about on Saturday during his show, or a lot about that, because I know our listeners, and so they're going to want to check out the book, but they're also going to be looking up this telepathy tapes. Is that I'm not familiar with it like James is. He tried to fill me in a little bit on it, but is that a series? Or are you in all of it? Are you in an episode? If people look that up and they want to hear more about your information, what are they seeking there?
So there, right now there's one season, it's 10 episodes. I'm introduced in episode 3, and I'm pretty much an integral part of the rest of the series. I'm not necessarily in every episode, but Houston and I both play a role throughout the episode, throughout the season. Right now they're doing talk tracks, which are just kind of these bonus episodes. And I don't really have a lot of participation in those. It's not a spiritual podcast, but there are several people, us included, who very much have a spiritual mindset and perspective about these gifts. And I just want to make sure that everyone's clear that this is not a spiritual podcast. It is more of someone from the outside who's learning about these individuals who have spiritual gifts. That's the perspective.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing the story, especially given sort of the last minute scenario. And for those that missed the beginning of this, James Clary, his show Clarification, which is on Saturday at 8 a.m., he's going to be talking with Katie about a lot of this. And one of the things that I'll tell those of you that are listening right now, just in talking with James, and you hear the very brief description of some of this from Katie, and you think when she talks about the telepathy and reading, or hearing thoughts, and I think a lot of people think, well, I mean, maybe you kind of make oneself think that because, he knew what I was thinking. But James explaining to me some of the scientific aspects behind it is really extremely fascinating. So I would encourage people to recognize that there's just a lot more depth to it. The book, again, from Katie Asher, is The Book of Heaven, A Story of Hope for the Outcast, the Broken, and Those Who Lost Faith. And James will have an extended, his entire hour on Saturday at 8, will be with Katie. And then if you miss any of that, the podcast will be up at 9 o'clock at ksgf.com. And I think that gets shot over to iTunes and Spotify like my show does as well. Katie, thank you so much for sharing. Author of the Week, Katie Asher, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. I'm Nick Reed.